Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left.
Where? 1, 2, 3.
Now, breakfast with the Bills. Fantasy style. Here's Derek Kramer and Lou DiBiase.
Good morning to everyone out there listening. If you're in the lots, if you are in your car heading down there, if you are just hanging out, getting ready for today's game, this is Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style. Derek Kramer, Lou DiBiase with you here this morning. We're getting you ready for the 1 p.m. kickoff between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals with John Murphy and Eric Wood calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth. Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Today's home opening game presented by Dr. Todd Shacken and the Aesthetic Associates Center, a world-leading expert in mini dental implants and cosmetic dentistry. Louie, home opener's finally here. Let's get it, son.
2-0, too, so it's a lot more exciting here. Going up against a Cincinnati Bengals team that's 0-2. Like you said in your update, Derek, they could be 3-0 for the first time in 8 years since Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback. And they beat the New England Patriots to get to 3-0. So it's an exciting time, a huge opportunity here against a team that's struggling, especially up front on the offensive line. As you said, Cordy Glenn is out. Their first-round pick, Jonah Williams, is out. So the Bills could get after this Bengals offense and their offensive line, which is very weakened right now in just the third week of the NFL season. So this is an exciting game, but at the same time, this is a Bengals team that has beaten the Bills 5 of the last 7 matchups. And they've beaten the Bills the last 2 times at home in Buffalo. So an interesting thing. It's always fans have been nervous this week about a potential trap game against the Bengals.
Yeah, it's one of those things where everyone is very thankful for what Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd had done for the Bills to help break the playoff drought. But everyone seems to forget they don't do too well in season against the Bengals. And I'm hoping, obviously, that this is not more of the same. I'm hoping that this is more of the, yeah, let's just go ahead and beat what should be not a great team out there. There's a lot of fantasy implications for this game, I'd honestly think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you look at one specifically, like the biggest name I would think between both sides is Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is heading into this game right now averaging less than 2 yards a carry. So I brought up that offensive line, how weak it's been. That is damaging his value significantly. You're going up against a really good Bills defense. John Ross right now in most leagues is the number one ranked wide receiver after 2 big weeks, but a lot of it came in garbage time last week. Can you rely on that again? Maybe if the Bills are up big, Tyler Boyd. I think on the Bills side with no Devin Singletary, I think TJ Yeldon is an interesting sleeper. If this Bills team is up big, he's also going to be in a PPR format. I think he's going to catch some passes today. So John Brown, I think you continue to work as well, who has 14 receptions in back-to-back weeks. So there's a lot of implications in this one for sure.
Not to mention, it's one of these games where I just want to be sure about the offensive production. This defense that they're facing in Cincinnati is not good. There are some good players there, but the unit as a whole,
right? They have Geno Atkins. I mean, William Jackson's a good corner. Outside of that, though, the other 10 players, that's the thing with the Bengals. It's kind of different. You look last week with the Giants. Both teams going to be really bad this year. The Bengals will probably win 3 or 4 games, but they'll probably beat in a lot of them. I mean, week one, they only lost by 1 point to the Seattle Seahawks. They do have talent on both sides of the ball. I mean, Geno Atkins is one of the more underrated defensive tackles in the league. The last 4 years, he has had at least 9 sacks in the interior. William Jackson, a good young corner. They have talent on offense, but when you're as weak as they are up front, across the board on offense and defense outside of Atkins, that's where this team's probably only going to win three or four games this year. But yeah, there is, I mean, there's some talent. I'm a little bit more nervous compared to last week against the Giants, but I think the Bills should handle this one. I think, look, this is a different team. So there's some young teams that could look past this one with the Patriots coming up at home, with the opportunity to be 3-0 with New England coming to town. This could be the typical, prototypical trap game. With this Bills team, I'm a little bit more confident.
I mean, the fans, luckily, we don't play the games. If you do want to look past this one, I'm not going to blame a person for doing so, as long as the team doesn't overlook them.
Especially considering their track record with the Bengals in the past.
Now, you mentioned Joe Mixon at less than 2 yards a carry. The entire Bengals team is at 1.8 yards per attempt.
It's brutal.
It is beyond brutal. And if you can, this is something that your brother Joe brought up yesterday on Sports Talk Saturday. He said, if you're able to make a team already one-dimensional before you even have to show up, that's going to be a problem, especially for a good defense to be able to take advantage of. I would agree. This is one of those things. I'm a little worried that the Bills might give up a big play or two in the passing game here on defense to a John Ross or even Tyler Boyd. Both players have been playing very well to start the season. And with Andy Dalton, you don't know what you're getting every week. You don't know if you're getting a guy who goes shot for shot against Seattle or if you're going to get a guy that, well, he gets most of his stuff in garbage time against San Fran.
They can produce in shootouts. I mean, they can look. Again, he might be running for his life depending on how this offensive line can hold up, but he certainly does have talent when it comes to the skill positions. Joe Mixon, Giovanni Bernard, he's got even without A.J. Green right now, Boyd and Ross is a good young tandem at wide receiver, and you know, right now, Tyler Eifert is healthy at tight end, so that is another player that a former first-round pick you have to take into account. There are matchups for the Bills to keep a close eye on, and we hyped up John Ross last week, and fantasy owners, it paid off because he did end up having another 19 to 20-point game, depending on your scoring format. But a lot of it, again, came off of one big play, so can you rely on that again for John Ross? I mean, I kind of go back and forth with it because while I don't think he's going to get the volume, I don't think he's going to have a big day when it comes to targets. With John Ross, all it takes is one big play, and especially if it's garbage time, much like it was last week against San Francisco, you might be able to get another double-digit point game out of Ross. I would say proceed with caution this week with Ross. I would say he's more of a flex option than a high-end. I mean, last week, I thought he was going in as like a wide receiver, too. I was pretty confident in him last week, not as much this week.
By the way, if you have any fantasy questions, you can tweet at DerekKramer49, at DBASCLOE on Twitter. You could also hit us up on the text line. Hit them up at 550-550. You can even give us a call, 803-0550, if you have some fantasy questions heading into today. It's week three. There's a lot of quarterback injuries, which then leads me to Josh Allen, who is already looking like a decent play in his own right in fantasy circles, but now with all these injuries to Roethlisberger gone for the season,
right,
with Drew Brees injuring his hand, we're one bad hit from seeing pretty much almost all of the old guard going away. Please, I'm okay with this.
I'm with you.
I don't cheer for injury. I don't cheer for injury.
Right.
But we're one bad
You're ready
hit
for a
away
new
from,
era, though.
Yeah, we're one bad hit away from a new era of quarterbacks. But Josh Allen looks like he is going to be a strong fantasy option going forward. And I say that, hey, you've got another good matchup here against the Bengals at home. You want to be able to impress the crowd a little bit. But I also think that the biggest thing and the biggest key of all of this is you got to make sure that you're doing everything right still. You got to just play your game. If it's not a good defense, just keep playing your game. And what has it been so far? It's been rhythm passing. It has been pretty much a lot of what Josh Allen was perceived to be bad at.
Right, what they were concerned he would never be able to do in his NFL career.
Which
when
means,
some called him a parody of a prospect in the draft.
Which means a lot more John Brown and Cole Beasley today.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rhythm passing offense that they've displayed over the first 2 weeks of the season, yes, it's the Jets and the Giants, but guess what? The Bengals defense ain't any better. And I would say the Jets defense is actually
somewhat solid. I was
going to
say Jimmy Garoppolo had a pretty big week against the Bengals last week.
So let's go ahead and see and suspect that Josh Allen could be QB1 territory pretty easily today with all the injuries. And then Cole Beasley and John Brown are guys that you could be throwing into a flex here.
It's super encouraging, too, to see how Allen has produced the last 2 weeks because, like you said, it's been through rhythm passing. It's been more controlled. It hasn't been him running the football, you know, 12 times a game. At the same time, though, he has been able to get into the end zone with a rushing touchdown the past 2 weeks. So I think it's the perfect balance with what you're getting from Josh Allen right now. And yeah, like you're saying, I mean, he's still using his legs, but he's doing it more so in really on third down too. I've been really impressed by Allen so far the first 2 weeks of the season. He's using his legs to extend plays through the passing game. And instead of taking off instantly, he's keeping his eyes down the field and he's finding John Brown. I don't know about Cole Beasley yet. In the flex, I wouldn't start Cole Beasley this week. John Brown, I think you have to continue to plug and play John Brown when he is seeing the target share from Josh Allen in this passing game that he is. 14 catches the last 2 weeks, and he has a touchdown. He's got big play potential. That's the thing, too, with Allen and Brown, they've been producing, and it hasn't even really been through their strengths, right? I mean, how many down-the-field big-time bombs have Allen and Brown connected on outside of the game winner against the Jets week one? They're doing it through the short intermediate passing game. So you know those big plays are going to come as well. So this is just, you're seeing the floor. There is a bigger ceiling to be had, and that could be had today against a Bengals defense that, again, they got Geno Atkins, they have William Jackson. Outside of that, there are a lot of holes in this rebuilding Bengals team.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues with this Bengals team, and it really is something to look forward to for this game as we've got pregame coverage leading you all the way up, by the way, to the 1 p.m. kickoff when John Murphy, Eric Wood, and Sal Capaccio take over on the call. I'm really excited about this. I really think that it's a great way to look at some fantasy options for this one, for the Bills and the Bengals. If you can get some garbage time points from some Bengals players, I'm not calling a blowout, but I'm not calling a close game either here for Buffalo. I think they're strong enough that they're going to be able to take care of business. And then, yeah, you might have Cincy try to sweat you out a little bit, but it's not going to be anything. It's like last week's game for me. I know they're going to win. I'm a little more confident in this one.
Interesting. I'm less confident.
Well, I was dreading it as like the potential doom and gloom kind of game. Like you tripped up a little bit and next thing you know, because they have such a generational talent, and funny, they start off with that hot start that we said don't let them do.
Right, yeah.
And the coaches on New York sideline took the ball out of Barkley's hands, and that's where the game went south for the Giants.
Yeah, I just think if there's going to be a trap game, it would be this one just based – I mean, the Giants outside of Saquon, yes, he is a generational talent, but they have literally nothing else to offer, whereas the Bengals – I could see a scenario where Andy Dalton gets hot. He's targeting John Ross down the field. Tyler Boyd's having a good game. They have Tyler Eifert, Joe Mixon. Defense has some players, not a whole lot. Maybe the Bills struggle on offense. You know, it's a letdown game. This to me spells a trap game more so than last week, but I'm still pretty confident in what the Bills can do here. I think from a fantasy perspective, too, for the Bills offense, I think Frank Gore is a really safe start because if it goes the way we expect, and they're winning this game by a pretty substantial margin, they're going to rely on the ground. And that's why I think TJ Yeldon is an interesting spot start. If you're struggling to find some help this week, there's a lot of injuries across the league. I think he's going to help in PPR. But Frank Gore, you know what you're going to get volume. He's going to get red zone work. And if they're winning, he's going to continue to run the football all throughout this game with Devin Singletary out. So I think you could really make the case for starting both Frank Gore and TJ Yeldon this week. I like the matchup for both running backs. Let's look at the 49ers, for instance, last week. Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert both had really big games for San Fran against Cincinnati.
Didn't their third stringer also have a decent game?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they put up 41 points, and their running backs were producing in both facets of the offense. So I think it could be a very similar scenario this week for the Bills where Gore and Yeldon produce from a fantasy perspective.
All right. So this is just – so you think that both of these Bills running backs are going to eat today is really what you're thinking here.
I think the only position that I don't really like on this Bills offense fantasy-wise is tight end.
And obviously
just
that's
because you can't – I mean, you got two rookies. You're not banking on the Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney. You know, outside of that – I think the plays this week, Josh Allen, John Brown, Frank Gore, and then depending on your roster, I think you could make the case for T.J. Yeldon.
And I would imagine Josh Allen in there as well.
Right, yeah, I put Allen in there for sure. I think, especially, I mean, if he keeps getting these rushing touchdowns, that's an extra 6 points. He's still being used in that area. He's not running as much when it comes to, like, when the play breaks down structure-wise, but they're still drawing up plays for him in the red zone to carry the football.
And the blocking on those has been...
Yeah, so it's a perfect balance right now with how they're using Allen, and I think that's going to continue today, and look, we haven't even seen, again, Derek, like I said earlier, we haven't even seen the deep ball really happen that much.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the John Brown play against the Jets. Outside of that, we have not seen that down the field. So, again, we've seen the floor. The ceiling has the potential to be met today. I really like this matchup from the Bills. And, again, with Cincinnati, I can't say don't start Joe Mixon.
I can.
But, I mean, he's averaging 1.9 yards per carry right now. I mean,
I'm going to say it. Don't start him. Don't start. You know how good the Bills do against the run game.
Yeah.
And yes, last week part
against
of that
Le'Veon
was.
Against Le'Veon and
against Saquon Barkley.
Barkley
still got his courtesy of the first drive of the game.
But for a guy that you're taking first overall across the entire country when it comes to fantasy leagues, he didn't even have the kind of game you would expect.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
They did well against Bell.
You're
they
bolder than I am. I can't. I don't know.
Generally do well against the run. That's the thing. I would say just don't put him in. If you have Joe Mixon, find another alternative.
Hmm.
And we'll, next segment, go around the NFL to find those alternatives for you.
That's right.
And if you've got Joe Mixon, if you've got a question, text it into 550-550 or you can hit us up on Twitter.
Are you starting John Ross this week?
Yes. He's a flex play.
See, I'm going with Larry, like in my situation, I have Larry Fitzgerald or John Ross.
Yeah.
And I'm going with Larry Fitz just based on the security of that.
Yes.
Because with Ross again, I don't see a big sample size for him today. I don't think he's going to get a big workload. I think you're going to have to bank on a big play.
And that's the thing, is that I think that it could happen. It also very
it hasn't
well,
happened yet, but in fairness, the only threat the Bills have had to take on so far at wide receiver is Robbie Anderson. The secondary's had a pretty easy go of
this,
it so far.
Yeah, this
so this is the first test. This is definitely the first true test.
This is the first test, and it's without even A.J. Green in there as
That's
well.
That's right, yeah.
But I do think that John Ross is capable of the big play, and it's kind of his calling card. I think that...
He was a top 10 pick for a reason. I mean, some people are like waiting.
Off.
Some people are waiting for this to end with John Ross, and while I don't think he's going to have a crazy big week, I do think you can expect John Ross to be productive throughout the year. And, of course, when A.J. Green comes back, that's going to hamper it too. But the guy was a 9th overall pick just 2 years ago for a reason. He is committed to throwing off this bust label that he's had since coming out of Washington after breaking Chris Johnson's 40-time record. Crazy thing about John Ross last year was he only had 200 yards receiving, but he ended up having 7 receiving touchdowns. So I don't think it's an anomaly with the way he's producing. It's not going to be at this high a clip. He is not going to be the number one ranked fantasy receiver. He's going to be more of a spot start. You know, each week I think you're going to be deciding between him and some other running backs and receivers at your flex spot. But I certainly do think that this is more so the John Ross you will see throughout the year than the John Ross you've seen the past 2 years, for sure.
Yes, for sure. By the way, you know how I mentioned that fans, it's okay to overlook this game and kind of look forward to New England?
They aren't, though. That's the funny thing. Fans are nervous about this one. That's the vibe I've been getting over Twitter throughout the past couple days.
You know what can get some – you know what can help you, though, with some nerves?
What's that?
Some good tailgate food. Get ready for Brady and Company by grilling up WGR Game Day kickoff special from Federal Meats, enough to feed 25 people, including burgers, Italian sausage, Salins hot dogs, a pound of shrimp. I'm hungry. And more than that, also just for $55, deflated football not included, by the way. Taste the difference Fresh makes at Federal Meats, and now I'm hungry, so I think I'm going to go.
Shrimp at 7 a.m., though. I don't know about that, Derek.
No, that's a risky proposition.
Seafood that early in the morning, that's risky.
That's a risky proposition, but I'm not above eating a burger at 7:30 in the morning.
Depends on how long you've been up. I think it's
nope.
I think it's allowed. If
burger
you,
breakfast.
I've been up since 2.
Breakfast
I was
burger.
Watching that UCLA game last night, UCLA-Washington State. There's this crazy college game going on at 2 o'clock in the morning, East Coast. Over 130 points scored and over 1,300 yards of offense. So, I could go for a burger if you're awake that long.
I mean, I can go for a burger if I was awake for 2 hours, which I am.
Fair.
So, that's just me. I'm also weird. But that's the big thing there. You got questions? Text them in 550-550. Tweet at us at DerekKramer49 or at DiBiase, L-O-E. It's spelled like the wrestler. I get to use that joke again.
That's right, capital B.
So that's what we've got going on here. Bills, Bengals. This is Breakfast with the Bills, fantasy style. Derek Kramer, Lou DiBiase, and, well, we'll be back on the other side of things. Not to mention, though, tomorrow on WGR, it's a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Howard and Jeremy break down the game in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, 10 to noon. Sal just takes your calls and your takes from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with John Murphy and Steve Tasker at noon. Chopin Bulldog at 3 p.m. featuring Bills safety Micah Hyde at 4 o'clock. Then Monday Night Football. It's the Bears and the Redskins. Coverage starting at 7:30 here on WGR. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow right here on the home of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll be back around the NFL next segment. This is Breakfast with the Bills. Derek Kramer, Lou DiBiase, you're listening to WGR. Welcome back. Breakfast with the Bills, fantasy style. Derek Kramer, Lou DiBiase. We are getting you ready for the 1 p.m. kickoff between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. John Murphy, Eric Wood calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth. Northwest Bank increasing the value of you. And today's home opener presented by Dr. Todd Shacken and the Aesthetic Associates Center, a world-leading expert in mini dental implants and cosmetic dentistry. Louie, it's the home opener. And I would imagine people are out there right now on the lots.
They're I would hope so.
They're hopefully enjoying a beverage, maybe even introducing themselves to a table. I don't know. Maybe those sorts of things are going on right now. But what I do know is it's looking good out there.
Yeah, if you're out there tailgating right now in Orchard Park at New Era Field, the weather is perfect. Currently 68 degrees, 0% chance of rain throughout the day, leading you up to kickoff at 1 o'clock. It's going to be 82 degrees, a high of 85. Once again, no chance of rain throughout the game, and it's going to be 81 to 82 degrees up until the end of this one. So a perfect day for the Bills home opener today against the Cincinnati Bengals. Game day weather has been brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15%. Or more on car insurance.
All right, it's time to go around the NFL.
Let's do this. Yeah, for sure.
Here we go. There you go, the ominous music. And speaking of ominous, you want to talk about things that are ominous? Well, if you're like one of the 14 Miami Dolphins fans this year.
Oh god.
Yes, we start with Dallas and Miami. You have an interesting fantasy take on this one.
So, somebody asked, Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb? I said yes, and Devin Smith, second-round pick of the New York Jets, was a clear bust coming out of Ohio State, a deep threat. Suddenly, last week, against Washington for the Cowboys, had three catches, 73 yards, and a touchdown. He's going to be in today for Gallup, who is out with an injury. He's going to be out a couple weeks. Devin Smith has speed down the field. Miami just traded away safety-slash-corner Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think in deeper leagues, consider Devin Smith in this one.
All right, moving on here. The Broncos and the Packers. Aaron Rodgers has been off to a little bit of a slow start to this season.
Yes.
Are you at all concerned with number 12?
I am, based on all of last year, too. In a new offense, I want to keep a close eye on this. He's playing a good Denver Broncos defense that has struggled the past couple weeks. I mean, they didn't really struggle last week because of Trubisky, but
that's because he's bad.
I'm going to keep a close eye on this one to see how Rodgers is doing. You still start him over the majority of quarterbacks across the league, but I am a little concerned. We'll keep a closer eye on it. It is still a brand new offense, and it's only in week three. So start Rodgers. Aaron Jones had that big game we were hoping for last week, 116 yards and a touchdown. I think you go with those two. And, of course, Devontae Adams for Denver. Even Philip Lindsay, I don't know if I'm considering even starting him. He has 30 rushing yards, then 40 the last 2 weeks.
Not to mention the Packers' defense has been looking very good right now in Green
Denver's
Bay.
Denver's run game has been brutal the past 2 weeks. I think I really like Emmanuel Sanders, even though it's a great Packers' defense. Sanders is probably the safest start. Outside of that, I'm kind of avoiding Denver here. Packers' defense is one of the best in the league, for sure.
I might say buyer beware there on Emmanuel Sanders because Jair Alexander is becoming one of the better corners in the game
right
now.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, though. Yeah.
So look out if you've got Emmanuel Sanders. Be ready for a potential letdown there. Falcons, Colts. at Indianapolis. Either way, you're playing in a dome for these two teams. Matt Ryan, an interesting thing here. The Colts defense is better than it has been, and trying to continue on from what they were doing last year and building on that aspect, Devontae Freeman has been frustrating so far this season.
Well, not only that, too, with Freeman, but you look at Matt Ryan. He's turning over the football at a high rate. 3 interceptions last week against the Eagles and 2 against the Vikings. So he's already got 5 picks in 2 weeks. He's going for it a lot, and that's going to lead to some big plays, which he did to Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley last week. But Matt Ryan, he's been turning the football over a lot this week. For the Colts, Marlon Mack, proceed with caution, game time decision. Make sure, just in case, if he is available, pick up Jordan Wilkins. 5 carries, 82 yards last week for the Colts, a big 55-yard run.
Yeah, Jordan Wilkins, a guy that should be on your radar, if not already handcuffed.
Naeem Hines, too. I think you want to make sure you got both running backs if you can.
Ravens, Chiefs, this is a slobber knocker. Start all players.
I can't wait for this one. I think even
start all players?
Yeah, I think you start everybody. Mecole Hardman, too, I think is included in that. While the Ravens' secondary is great, if you're catching the ball from Patrick Mahomes, it's hard to keep you out of there.
All right, I've got a strange question to ask you here. How close does Lamar Jackson get to Patrick Mahomes in points this week?
I think he has more. I think Lamar Jackson makes his statement today as the lead MVP candidate in the first month of the season.
I mean,
this was
Chiefs.
My pick in the preseason, and I'm sticking with it. He's going to make a statement. He's going to put the league on notice today against the Chiefs.
I mean, the Chiefs defense isn't one to really brag about either there. Vikings, Raiders, your boy Josh Jacobs has been putting up pretty good numbers to start the season, but now he comes in against a tougher opponent here in the Minnesota Vikings.
And he's banged up, too. He lost 10 pounds this week with an illness, but the way they've used him in this offense, I can't imagine if he's on the field, they're not going to keep grinding with him. I think Josh Jacobs is a start. Stephon Diggs, I'm nervous about still. Even though you got to start him, Kirk Cousins has been terrible the first 2 weeks.
Here's the good news. The Raiders are not a winning team right now, so right. Cousins should not be
and look
terrible.
How many receivers had success against them last week for the Chiefs. Aldrick Robinson, Mecole Hardman.
This is exactly the remedy I think that Stephon Diggs needs, and if you're an Adam Thielen owner as well, you can be able to sweat a little less on this one. And Dalvin Cook is going to probably eat pretty good here today. Jets,
sure.
Patriots, as we move along here. I mean, Sony Michel has been an interesting one here so far to this point of the season.
Yeah, hopefully he has a bounce back. I mean, you imagine with Luke Falk playing that this is going to be another blowout. So it's another opportunity for a lot of carries.
Michelle, though, he disappointed with the Miami game.
Yeah, I know he did. I mean, that's the thing is, like, can you bank on volume if he's so inefficient? You got to imagine, though. I mean, he was a first-round pick. He's talented. It's not like he's just some plug-and-play guy. I would imagine there's a bounce back coming here. Start everybody else and for New England and for the Jets, only play Le'Veon Bell. He's going to get a lot of work once again.
Once again, and Luke Falk is the quarterback, so this takes any of the decent receiving options like a Robbie Anderson out of the picture.
Yeah, you're pulling
probably.
All of them, yeah.
All right, last of the 1 o'clock games, the Lions and the Eagles. Who is healthy in Philadelphia, Louis?
Right now, it looks like just Nelson Aguilar and Zach Ertz. Dallas Goedert is a game-time decision. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the rookie, is going to be starting at wide receiver on the outside. I really like Ertz. I like Aguilar in this one. Outside of that, I think you're kind of avoiding any other pass catchers for the Eagles. And for the run game, you got to expect a bounce back. But right now, you can't rely on who's the lead guy for Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, or Darren Sproles.
Yeah, Miles Sanders was a popular rookie pick, and he's kind of being lost
in
the shuffle like everyone else.
He's leading the team in carries, but that is only meaning he has 10 and 11 carries. So it's too hard to judge right now.
And as for the Lions, Kerryon Johnson, you would have thought, you know, RB1 to start the season, they'd be more dedicated to the running game. It's still the Matt Stafford show in Detroit.
He had a heavy workload in the receiving game last week. Their offensive line has really struggled. They are getting Taylor Decker, though, today. They expect him to play their starting left tackle, so that should be a nice boost. But the Eagles are also a top-3 run defense. So with Kerryon, you're definitely playing him because of his big play potential and the workload he's going to get, but don't like the matchup.
And Kenny Golladay is becoming must-start territory at this
point. Yeah, especially
against
a secondary that's allowed almost 800 yards of offense the last 2 weeks.
All right, 5 games from the 4 o'clock slot on here. The Panthers and the Cardinals. Kyler Murray, slow start to the season. He's kind of picked up. And however, though, he faces a very, at least decent to good Panthers defense here. The biggest problem being, what do you do with the Panthers offense? Kyle Allen is going to play. Christian McCaffrey probably going to be given all of the attention. I'd imagine McCaffrey bounces back despite the rough game against Tampa Bay. It's just becoming a little tough right now to trust the Panthers' options.
Yeah, DJ Moore is probably the only guy I consider playing. I think you're benching Curtis Samuel. Greg Olsen, maybe. I mean, tight end is so thin across the league in fantasy that you probably go with Olsen, too. Some people are saying that this is an upgrade for DJ Moore, that he might be able to get better work, considering Cam Newton, how hurt he's been the past 2 weeks, still targeted him a lot. So, but I'm not really feeling good about anybody in the Panthers' offense outside of McCaffrey.
All right, Giants, Buccaneers. This is it's the start of Daniel Jones' career in the NFL against a Tampa defense that's much improved from recent years.
Yeah, I think it's Saquon Barkley, and that's it for the Giants. I love me some Chris Godwin this week. I think he continues to have a breakout season for the Buccaneers as wide receiver two next to Mike Evans.
Not to mention,
I think they're both. Mike Evans is going to have, he's finally going to have that big game. You know, he's.
Can Jameis Winston be a fantasy play today with how bad the Giants defense is?
I think you would hope, right?
Yeah. You would hope.
This is the best opportunity as ever.
What breaks, the turnover machine or the Giants defense?
Yeah.
My bet's the Giants defense.
I agree.
Texans, Chargers, as this one should be a pretty good one here. Deshaun Watson and company probably looking to bounce back in fantasy circles here. I suspect that they will, and this game might be a little more of that back-and-forth kind of contest here. My question to you will be about Mike Williams.
Yeah, isn't he coming in pretty banged up?
He's a little banged up. He was limited from last week's game, and then now you're looking at a Texans defense that, well, they could get some pressure on the quarterback and cause a little headaches for Phillip Rivers, but the secondary isn't necessarily what I'd call great.
No, and you saw that on full display week one. I think this is going to be very similar to that Saints-Texans game. I think there's going to be a lot of offense, which spells a good game for Mike Williams, but how much work is he actually going to get? So I think you start Mike Williams. I think it's a really good matchup, but I am a little nervous about the health, but I think you do still have to play him for sure.
All right, we got to move on a little faster here. 425, Steelers, 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo looking good as a fantasy option. Matt Breida, Raheem Moisert, and they're facing a bad Steelers defense.
Yeah, I really like the 49ers matchup right here on offense. I think both running backs are plays.
And then, of course, you got to worry about Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, and the impact of Mason Rudolph.
Right.
So do beware there, but I still think that those are the guys that you're keeping them in your lineup
yeah,
at the current
sure.
moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Saints, Seahawks. No Drew Brees for the Saints. Does the Seahawks defense steal a game for fantasy owners today?
Yeah, I think Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara are the only guys you can rely on. Not even Jared Cook should be someone that, if you have a better option, I think, I mean, if like TJ Hockenson is someone that you play over Jared Cook right now. For the Seahawks, I'm going to continue to ride DK Metcalf. And then on Sunday Night Football, tonight on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Rams at the Browns at 8 p.m., and it's brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and also by Armor Heat. Do it right the first time.
Well, it's the Rams and the Browns. Huh. I don't know what to think of Cleveland right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Jets. At the same time, you know who I'm not buying in this game at all is Jared Goff. He continues, after getting that big contract, He has been very average against two really good defenses. Nonetheless, you pay a guy like that to be able to have big weeks consistently. So Jared Goff, I think he's a spot start. I like a lot of other options at quarterback better. I think like a guy like Jameis Winston, I might be starting over Jared Goff this week.
And I'm probably avoiding Baker Mayfield right now at this moment for the Rams defense. Aaron Donald is going to get up close and personal to that man, and he's not going to be very happy
about it. This seems like a game that should have a lot of offense. I don't think it's going to.
Yeah, I think the Rams are going to be
able to take
care of things.
The way both offenses are playing, yeah, for sure.
All right, Monday night, Bears, Redskins. I mean, oh man, Mitchell Trubisky is kind of torpedoing.
Yeah, and it's hurting guys like Allen Robinson. I don't know. I mean, I think David Montgomery's a start. I was very encouraged that they really ran through him last week in the run game. So I think you go with David Montgomery. On Washington's side, I think you continue to work Terry McLaurin. I think that's a special rookie wide receiver.
I think that's the only one you're playing right now against the Bears defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and be ready for the letdown with McLaurin.
Yeah. I think McLaurin's the only guy that you consider for Washington.
All right. Before we go, though, before we hit rapid fire, we've got a fantasy question from Rich in Buffalo. Rich, we're putting you in before rapid fire. Here you go.
Gentlemen, real quick, I'm concerned about the weather in Kansas City, and I have both Ingram and Marquise Brown and Hardman. Should I be concerned about starting them? And then my second question is, I have a plethora of wide receivers. I need to start three. I have Gordon, Hardman, Devin Smith of Dallas, Brown of Baltimore, D.B. Samuel, McLaren of Washington, and I can pick up Dorsett. He's available. So my first question is the Kansas City weather. Am I concerned about the guys? And then the three wide receivers, who should I start out of that bunch of guys?
Thanks, Rich. I would probably – I'm not really concerned about the Ravens-Chiefs game. I'm probably starting, Derek, like we said earlier, I would start all of them.
Yeah, I'm starting all of them still.
He has a lot of options at wide receiver.
The biggest risk is the weather, and that's just like possibly just like you lose a little bit of fantasy points, I think, out of it.
When it comes to the receivers he mentioned, I like Gordon, I like Hardman, and
I like Debo.
I think Debo Samuel, like, again, I mentioned Devin Smith. I think he's an interesting play against Miami today, but I think Debo's the safer option.
All right, guys, rapid fire. Your text questions get answered next. This is Breakfast with the Bills, fantasy style, Derek Kramer and Lou DiBiase. Your text questions are going to be answered next, so if you've been pumping them in, we get them to you coming up next. Be sure to catch Sal Capaccio all season long as he takes you behind the scenes on Bills Game Day with Sal's All Access Facebook Live on WGR's Facebook page, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Breakfast with the Bills, fantasy style. Derek Kramer, Lou DiBiase. Don't forget, WGR Sports Radio 550 and Bryland Behavioral Health System are teaming up to tackle depression. To learn more, call 886-8200 or go to Bryland.com. With help, there is hope. Louie, people are out there right now. They might be looking for questions, but they might be outside in the lots. What's the weather looking like?
It's a perfect day right now for tailgating in the Bills' home opener against the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now at 8 o'clock. 69 degrees, 0% chance of rain throughout the day. Looking out here at kickoff at 1 o'clock, it's going to be 82 degrees. Going to be in the low 80s throughout the game up until 5 o'clock. And game day weather is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, Joe, help us out here.
Rapid fire.
Let's go.
Thanks, Joe. All right, rapid fire time. Here we go. We got a lot on the text line. Appreciate all you guys, and let's try to get to all of them. It's going to be fast. It's going to be quick. You ready, Louie?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Flex spot, Emmanuel Sanders, James White, or Matt Breida? I'm going Breida.
I'm going Breida as well. I love me some Matt Breida.
There you go, Brandon. We got you there. Josh Allen or Carson Wentz? I'm going Allen, bud.
I'm going Carson Wentz.
No, of course. All right, Josh Jacobs or John Brown? I'm going with John Brown here.
Ooh, I'm going to go Josh Jacobs. But I don't feel great about it.
All right, close.
That's really close.
I mean, I just love John Brown's consistency right
now.
Yeah,
for sure.
Metcalf, Brown or Ridley? It is not specifying which one. Is it Hollywood Brown? Is it John Brown? I don't know, but I'm going DK Ridley.
Regardless, I'm going DK Metcalf.
Yeah, DK and Ridley probably on the starting two of them there. All right. Better pregame breakfast, steak and eggs or huevos rancheros?
Steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs. I'm going steak and eggs. All right, here we go. Wide receiver, DJ Moore, Cobb, or Fuller? I'm going with Will Fuller there.
Yeah, I like Will Fuller. I think that's going to be a shootout, and he's going to have some big plays.
All right, Debo Samuel, Mike Williams. We got to hit it fast.
Debo Samuel.
Debo, I'm going Debo. Matt Ryan, Josh Allen. I'm going Josh.
Josh Allen.
All right, Sony Michel, Kerryon Johnson, Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram.
I'm going with Kerryon Johnson there.
Okay.
It's a risk, but I'm taking it. Austin Eckler, Frank Gore, Devontae Freeman, James Conner. Pick two. I'm going Eckler and Gore.
I'm going with the same, Eckler and Gore.
All right. Cooper Kupp, Hollywood Brown. Ooh, that's tricky. I'm going Hollywood.
I like Hollywood Brown, too. I put my money where my mouth is with Lamar Jackson.
All right, tight end question. Waller or O.J. Howard?
Waller.
I'm going Waller there as well. Howard cannot be trusted right now. Last ones we're getting in there. Last minute, Debo Samuel or J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
I like Debo. Yeah, I think it's too premature to start a rookie that has only played half a game.
All right, have I missed any? No, Louie, you had one for
me. We got one on Twitter between three running backs, Philip Lindsay, Miles Sanders, or Raheem Mostert. I like Mostert.
Mostert.
He's been really good in the receiving game, too. 63 yards receiving.
Been bad.
Yeah, so I think Mostert's going to get a lot of work at running back.
All right, we're out of here. Bills game day coming up next. Jeremy White and Nate Geary at the stadium. This has been Breakfast of the Bills. Derek Kramer, Lou DiBiase. Bills game day coming up next. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.